2 years, and she's going to present it to us in 5 minutes. No, we gave her a little more time than that. Ellie, why don't you come on up?
I'm going to go ahead and sing first. But I just want to say, first of all, thank you and good evening. It's so nice to be here with you all tonight, and it's a big blessing to be on this side also and just present not anything of what I have done, but what the Lord has done. And a part of that testimony is learning the guitar and singing. For those of you who knew me as a child, like, singing was out. It was not anything. So it still isn't anything big, but it is God be the glory, and it's all for Him, for His kingdom. I wish I could recruit one of these girls up here from this morning. They are really good. But we'll do it this way. Good evening. I'm just kidding. So those of you who do not know me, I was raised here in Illinois, moved to Alabama when I was 10 years old, but this is a big part of my home, my testimony. I was talking this morning with someone. I was like, you had a great impact on my life and what you've done, and you have no idea. So I live in Romania, a country in Europe. You can see here, it's the big purple. And I live there in the south where it's got the star of the capital. I live underneath that, so near the beach, near the ocean. That's about where I live. Something that I would like to share about my how the Lord got me into missions so that you guys know as well with just how I got into it, because it was not something that I would have chosen. But something called Missions Discipleship Training, MDT. We went on a short-term mission trip, just like you guys do a lot here at Grace, where you go for a couple of weeks to a different country. The Lord, I was not in the best place, but the Lord spoke to me and said, this is where I want you. And I said, like, here? Or, you know, what do you mean here? Because this is not my country. But the Lord ended up taking me through Moldova, this small country that is right next. It's actually the other. It's that blue country on the right. And I ended up spending 2 weeks there and then ended up joining the six-month discipleship training. Through that, then after I came home, I was home for 6 months, and I went back And then that's when my story kind of also really began on how I started working in a team, and we started working in the field individually. And a couple of stories I would like to just quickly share. We work with a lot of Muslims. We work with a lot of Orthodox. The reason that, and probably I know most of you really do keep up with me, and I appreciate that because it means a lot. A lot of prayer has been invested in what the Lord is doing in Romania. Even if you don't know the people, here are a couple faces. But it has been so eye-opening, and my heart was really broken. Oops. My heart was really broken for Orthodox people, people who thought and gave everything to this thought of religion, and they had no idea. And then they ended up, most of them ended up to the end of their life and do not meet Jesus face to face. And that tore me apart. And so I said, I have to do something. But then I ended up also working with Muslims, which was my biggest fear of which, because they're just difficult to get to. But the Lord put them in my path. And we've had a lot of fruit where we see a couple of people since we've been there in the past 2 years that have called Jesus as their Savior and have denied their religion and said, I want to follow Jesus. So praise God for that, really. And that's something that if after the service, please come and ask me about that, because God is just the way that he speaks to people. He speaks through visions and dreams. Even today, we see that in the Old Testament, Jesus really does still speak like that to people today. And that's really amazing. A couple of these little girls are some Turkish girls that we work with. Above that picture is a picture of some Turkish women. So they're not Romanian, but Turkish Muslim. And their identity is in that alone. I'm Turkish, I'm Muslim. We are not Romanian. I'm Romanian, and I'm Orthodox. So when you can pour your heart out, and they're so close to understanding the gospel. And they understand. But I've had people look at me and say, I understand what you're saying, and I do believe what you're saying. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, but my family that's gone, they're in hell, I'll go. I will have to be with my family. And I will not, I will not stand before God and say that I denied my family. So they just don't see it. We just hit a wall, which is why, obviously we want to go back and we want to continue that work and also help the locals. We are partnering with the church there, helping them to create this foundation that Pastor is also talking about this morning, creating this foundation as a church, as a body of Christ, so that people can be invited into a healthy place. And so working with the church has been difficult. They're small, but they're also, it's not about us. It's not about the missionaries that come in and we think that we can change everything. It's really not. And that's been humbling as well. But getting them to see that there's more than just religion or the ways that the church has to do things, but that Jesus is really all that matters, which is a lot of what Pastor said this morning. Jesus is what should be the foundation. So we're working on that. Hebrews 13, verse 4, it says, for here we have no lasting city, but seek the kingdom and the city that is to come. This is a verse that spoke to me about, I've been praying that since I've been home, okay, God, what is next? I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to be selfish in what I think that is best for the next step of my life, because really it's not about my life in this next year or what I think that I'm going to do or what I'm going to impact, but what has Jesus got planned for the next year so that I can be obedient and my team can be obedient as well. And so future plans that I have asked the Lord, what do you want us to do? And something that at different times, I live with a roommate. We rent a house for like 200 euros, which is like $200 a month. Super cheap, which was a culture shock. But we split it and we asked, okay, we talked about it. How do we want to seek God's will together, but not in a way where people can say or that we can say that we want it and that it was our desire. So we both split up in different rooms before we left. We packed our house because we didn't know what the situation was going to be with the Ukrainian war and so. So we kind of packed our house as if we're going to go back, but that there could be a chance that we don't. Everything's safe in Romania. We're going to go back. And about the same week, it was not the same day, but the same week, we both said, I think that we need to go back and that we need to only invest in the relationships that we've built so far. Because if we start building new relationships, how can I invest everything in them? All right, so getting these people and these Muslim believers and also Orthodox believers and even believers in the church and pulling them in the direction of discipleship and just one-on-one. So as you know, I want to share with you guys what the next plan is of sending me back. I thank you guys for your support. It has been, I don't even know how to express, it's been a big, big blessing that you guys are a part of my journey. Like, that's not even, I can't express it. Grace Baptist being a part of my story is a big, big, huge blessing. So thank you so much. And so you guys deserve to know as well what the Lord is doing. Keep praying. And if the Lord places it on your heart, what should be going on in Romania, please share. But so far, that's what we think that the Lord has is for us as individuals to go in this next year and say, we want to give everything we have to the people who we have invested in so far in discipleship and have some discipline with their walk with Jesus. So that's all. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, Allie. If you would, please stand with me one last time. If you'd like, you can turn in your hymnals, page 352, Now I Belong to Jesus.
If you want to head over to Genesis chapter 30, we're going to jump right in here with family problems again. Everybody ready for some more family problems? Now, it's been good hearing from missionaries. We've had a lot lately. Next week, you get another one. But this next week, it's going to be different. We're going to try to have a video call with Robert Leonard. We just had him not too long ago. Remember, he was trying to get back to Fiji, but yet that wasn't working out. So they decided to go somewhere else where God was providing a route. So he's going to come and share about that. Or he's not going to come. He's going to come over a video call, right, and share with us about that. So that'll be next Sunday night, Lord willing. And we'll get to hear more. And then, Lord willing, we'll have the littles do the same exact thing. Because if you've been reading their letters lately, you've noticed that they've changed from St. Lucia to going up to Canada. And they're going to be doing a church replant. or a church revitalization. It was a church that was planted, but it's had struggles over the last couple of years. I wonder why. And anybody know why? You know, and so they're going to go in and try to help with that. So it's a blessing to see how God's working. So they're going to update us through hopefully a video call. That'll save a little bit of money on gas trying to get here. So that'll be cool. Isn't it nice to have that kind of a technology to be able to check in with our missionaries? And even the Dunlops, I don't know if you keep up with them, but they've been doing these videos over YouTube, and also the Rayfelts. That's nice just to keep updated and actually see it in person. It's beautiful to be able to see pictures, and even with Allie being able to share those over her time there. So lots of things coming up. I'm excited. So we're going to jump in here. Whose plan is it anyway? And we're going to jump into in-law issues. What was it the last time we came together? The issue was the fact that Jacob was going to... Isn't it nice to have Cheesy here tonight? Josh looked over right at him, didn't he? And you were called his twin earlier, weren't you? Yeah, isn't that a blessing? You just become right like your father-in-law. That's beautiful. So in-law issues. The last time we were here, we're talking about family issues and how Jacob, he had worked for... 7 years in order to get Rachel as a bride, and I don't think anybody's had to do that here, and yet this is what he had to do, and then all of a sudden wedding night comes around, and it's Leah. He's like, whoa, surprise, surprise. Anybody, did that happen to anybody in here? I mean, surprise, all of a sudden wedding night, oh, it's the wrong person. I married the wrong person. I hope that didn't happen to you. That would be really weird. I think the only problem that would happen to is if there was a twin in the situation. And here we go, back to Josh, all right. But yet there was all these issues. And then there was pregnancy issues of not having children. And then one was having more children than the other. And it became a competition and trying to search for love. And then all of a sudden they said, well, I'm going to have children through my servant. So here, Jacob, take this servant and start having children with that one. And then the other one got jealous. And so she put in her servant and said, here, have some more children with her. Can you imagine the type of familial issues going on in this moment? Well, now we're going to bring in the in-laws. Has anybody ever had problems with in-laws before? I'm not going to put my hand up. Okay, I could actually put both hands up, all right? It's because I'm imperfect, not them. They're perfect. I hope they're watching this. Wink, wink. Okay? But there are those issues, but hopefully you've never had the issues like you have, or you're going to see here tonight with Laban. So let's jump into this. Whose plan is it anyway? We're going to jump into point number one, extended service. Extended service. All right, so he's already worked for quite a bit of time for Laban. And remember what God told him in his promise. He said, listen, I'm going to take care of you. I'm the same God of your father Isaac. I'm the same God of your grandfather Abraham. I'm going to be with you. But listen, you need to get back to the promised land. He had given leeway for him to go and to find his wife, but he needed to come back. And that was a stipulation on the blessing here. And so Jacob needs to understand he needs to start moving back to the land that God had promised. So let's jump into verse 25. And we're going to try to breeze through this for the sake of time. And I know it's a little bit warm in here too, so we don't want you to fall asleep, all right? So, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own place and to my country. So all of a sudden, Joseph comes into play, and we know this is the firstborn of Rachel. And sometimes when you have a child, certain things come back into reality. Maybe you take a break for a while from your goals and what you're moving for, and then all of a sudden, a child comes into place, and then I need to start getting some things together. Maybe that's when you start getting life insurance. Whenever you get a child, it's like, oh, wow, I've got another child here. I've got another mouth to feed. You start making some decisions. You start moving forward with trying to look over this. And all of a sudden, Joseph comes into place and he says, I need to get back to my country. He says, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my servants which I have done thee. So you know the work that I put in here. Let us go to the place where we need to get. Verse 27, Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but with Laban, he has this surface view of God. He has a surface view because when it came to his sister going back to be with Isaac, he's like, oh yeah, God's made this happen. Go ahead and take her. And then all of a sudden it was time to leave. And he says, hold on, can we wait just a little while longer? He takes God seriously about this much. But in this, the surface was, I am being blessed because you're here. My wallet is getting thicker because of the blessing that is coming because of how you're watching over my flocks. And so he says, listen, could you please just stick around? Because I know that I'm being blessed because of your sake. Verse 28, and he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Again, he says this again, just tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. We'd always like that kind of leverage, right? Okay, but you'll notice that later on, when we get into several verses later, you'll notice that this is a lie. Have you ever been promised something by your employer that doesn't come to fruition? Promised something by a family member that hasn't come to fruition? Does that ever make issues? Promised something by your in-laws? Does that ever, you know, create some problems when it doesn't come to fruition? And this is what's going to happen. But he says, hey, tell me what you want. I'll give it to you. Verse 29, he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hast before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude, and the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? So Jacob's responding here, and he's saying, you had little, and now you have much because of my supervising what you have. Okay, but I don't have anything to show for it. He's got a lot of children, a lot of mouths to feed, and so he's got to start thinking about those mouths to feed. He says, I really don't have anything. I built up all of this for you. I need to start thinking about my family. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats. And of such shall be my hire. Now, what he was saying here is that he was going to be removing all of those that weren't exactly the normal type of livestock that they would have. So usually they'd have one color, and he says the rarity of the colors, he was going to separate for those, okay? Those that weren't just purely one color of the goats there, then he was going to separate those that were speckled and spotted. And all of those that weren't normal, he was going to take with him, okay? That's going to be his wages. And he says, so shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. So all of those that are not speckled, spotted, those are that are not brown, those are going to be going to Laban. Okay? And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. There's an agreement here. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. So Laban took all of the ones that would be classified as Jacob's, and he separated them and gave them to his sons. And so Jacob was fixed with the ones that he wasn't supposed to be getting. You see where he's starting? The start-off point is, I'm probably going to lose this battle. And yet, Jacob took him rods of green poppy. Now, this is super interesting to me, and I'll kind of explain this a little bit later on. But he took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and piled white strakes in them, and made the white appear, which was in the rods. So he's fashioning these rods out of the wood, and he's doing different things. Why? Because it says he set the rods which he had piled up before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs when the flocks came to drink. So these sticks, he piled them up in the watering troughs. So when they come to drink, what would happen? That they should conceive when they came to drink. That they'd start having more animals, right? They'd have the babies. But yet he thought that these sticks, because they were spotted and speckled, that they would have some sort of influence on these herds to where they'd have spotted and speckled offspring. You say, well, that's kind of goofy, isn't it? It's kind of goofy. Is it? I'm gonna influence, but when they're drinking water, I'm going to pile up these sticks so it'll influence the offspring that they have, so all of a sudden there'll be an abundance of the ones that are supposed to come to me. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-straked and speckled and spotted. Whoa, it actually happened the way that he wanted to influence. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring-straked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. So he wanted these stronger animals. Now, there is the matter of the genes and the traits that they get, and so there's an understanding of when he's having these animals come together that they're when you have strong ones, hopefully those will have strong offspring, right? And the weak ones, they'll probably have weak offspring. That's why when Keely and I have had our children, they aren't like 6'7". You want to know why? Because we're both short. If one of our offspring was 6'7", I'd be a little concerned. Okay? It'd be like, well, where did those genes come from? Now, I'm thankful. You see, where did the red hair come from? Well, you saw it last VBS, the last night of VBS. You saw where Kian's red hair came from. All of a sudden, it just came out in its natural form on my head. And it's like, wow, that's where his red hair came from, right? You got it. All right. But he's using strategies in order to make sure that the flocks go in his direction to where he builds his own herd. There is the matter of strategy where there is science here. But then on the other side, there's also superstition. It's kind of like when you're watching the free throw shot. And what do you do? Why are they doing that? Because it looks cool to have wavy fingers? It looks dumb, okay? But at some point, they thought that would help them make the shot or lose the shot or whatever. It's kind of like when I was up north with my in-laws, okay? We'd watch U of M. And every time they would score, we would get to eat a piece of chocolate. Okay? Now, I just enjoyed the chocolate. But my father-in-law, I don't know if he thought that that helped them along, because it really didn't. They lost a lot. But then we had to go healthy and start eating grapes after every time, so we didn't eat too much chocolate and get sick. But you know when you get superstitions and all of a sudden you watch people in the crowd and they're trying to do weird things and they only drink certain things when they go to the game because it's going to happen the exact way because we're so superstitious, right? As a people group, and we think that this will bring some good luck. By the way, it's all hocus pocus. I mean, it's not going to help. If you believe that that's going to help your team win, it's not. See, but Jacob did all these things. I mean, he laid out these sticks. Yeah, some of you probably do this. The altar's open later on, right? But he's laying out these sticks, and you say, wait a minute, it worked for him. All these strategies that he laid out, and it's working for him. It says, but when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in, so the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. It's awesome. It's working together. Verse 43, and the men increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and menservants and camels and donkeys. I mean, it's just all these things are growing and building for him. It must be all that Jacob has done. Man, he must be good. He'd be a great farmer. He'd be in all the magazines, and he'd be a great influencer, right, in this time and age. And, oh, wow, just make sure that everybody knows what he's doing. And you better start getting those sticks out there in the watering troughs and to make sure that it goes exactly as planned. And yet, Jacob has done so great. And then all of a sudden, he runs into some in-law problems. Has there ever been jealousy in your family? Has there ever been any assumptions that had no basis whatsoever? Y'all feel me on that? I mean, I think we've been there. Any whole Christmas times that's spent on stupidity? And yet here it comes in. Here's the in-law problems. You jump into 31, it says, and he heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which our father's hath he gotten all his glory. He's taken everything away. He's stealing it all. He's stealing the inheritance. Have you ever heard that before? How dare they, right? I imagine none of us have these family issues. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban. And behold, it was not toward him as before. He was all excited and pumped that he was taking care of all of his stuff. And yet now he's not so excited because he's seen that the scales have turned. His deception, his tactics isn't working anymore. And he's seeing Jacob's blessing overshadowing his own. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers. Aren't you thankful that God always has a plan? When one door shuts, another one opens. I was reading something this past week. It said, when one door shuts, go hang out in the hallway and praise Jesus until another one opens. Because God's going to provide a way. And he steps in and he says, I want you to go back. I want you to go back to the land that I prepared for you and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Wait a minute. Esau is back there. His brother, whom he stole the inheritance from, the blessing from. Esau is back there, but yet God says, I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. Wait a minute, the women are going out to the flocks? Why can't he just come into the tent and start talking to them? Because he doesn't want anybody to listen. Because people tend to have great hearing when they want to listen, right? When there's some news to be heard, all of a sudden they don't need hearing aids. I mean, they just hear everything, right? verse 5, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. I've done everything that I am supposed to. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. Remember when Laban said, hey, whatever you want, I'll make it happen? How many times has he said that? Didn't he say that about Rachel? Whatever you want, I'll make it happen? Oh, well, within our culture, we're supposed to give away the first daughter first, you know, because we can't break culture. So therefore, this isn't going to work out. But he's changed it 10 different times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said, thus the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said, thus the ringstraked shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ringstraked. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. So he's just laying it out. He's saying all these things that he promised me, God's given to me. He's blessed it. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstraked, speckled, and gristled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and gristled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. So God recognized the situation and the trouble that Jacob was in, and he stepped in. He took care of him. He says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So here it is, he's laying it all out to Rachel and Leah. Now have Rachel and Leah agreed on anything up to this point? Not that we know of. But Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? You know, I've noticed something here. I believe that Rachel and Leah have more of a surface level view of God like their dad. Because all of a sudden they respond and saying, well, there's nothing left for us here. So what are they going to do? Are we not counted of in strangers? For he has sold us and hath quite devoured us all our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. There's nothing left for me here, so let's go. Listen, I hope that we as Christians, as followers of God, don't say there's nothing left for me, so I might as well follow Jesus. That instead, we just say, I'm willing to give it all to follow Jesus. And Jesus has given that over and over again throughout when he called his followers after him. He says, you know, listen, gain the whole world but lose your own soul. You follow after me, you might not even have a pillow to lay your head on. And so we see that there's more of a surface level view of God by Rachel and Leah, but they actually come in agreement and they say, hey, there's nothing left, let's go. So all of a sudden we have a hindered move. And they start moving. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Did she steal pictures? You know, family pictures, you know, family album? No. These were idols that her father had. This is why I'm telling you that I believe his view of God is very surface level. It really doesn't go down much deeper. And this is why I'm telling you that his daughters are really following after daddy. She stole the images that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian in that he told him not that he fled. So they're getting out of there before Laban even finds out about this. So he fled with all he had, and he rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told to Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. So 3 days out, and all of a sudden Laban finds out. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Here it is that God steps in before he even gets there and says, listen, don't even speak to him good or bad. Here's a warning. By God, this is God stepping in. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? I hope none of you have had a father-in-law that said that to you. What have you done? You've taken away my daughter away from me. A little emotional manipulation here. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth, with songs, with tabret, and with harp? Do you think he would have done that? Oh, if only it would just stayed back, I would have just celebrated your departure. He says, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Has your father-in-law ever said that to you? Probably in jest, I hope. But it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. And now thou wouldest needs be gone because thou sore longest after thy father's house. Yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? So he comes in. He's on a mission to get his daughters, his grandsons back. And yet God shows up and says, don't speak good or bad. And so he goes in and he puts on the emotional manipulation as if he's there for his children, and then throws it back and says, somebody stole my idols. Now, do you get the stupidity of that? Somebody stole my gods. Do you get what he's saying there? If they were gods, how could they be stolen? If they actually had power, how could they be? How could they be taken away? And yet, who was it, the one that stepped in and spoke to Laban with authority, and Laban's actually obeying? I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit there. He's saying, somebody stole my gods. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. So that's why he left. He was afraid. He was afraid what Laban might do. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Wow, that's brave, isn't it? Wait, who was the one that took it? His beloved Rachel. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tent, and he found them not. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. And then he went out of Leah's tent. Oh, I skipped a verse there. I read it twice there. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. So Rachel's got a little scheme going on. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. Now, did you get what she just said? I'm not going into depth. But she says, the custom of women is upon me. Guess what? Dads, no, don't mess with that. Here it is. The deceiver has been deceived by his own daughter. The one who stole his images, she's taking right after him. The deceiver has been deceived by his own daughter. But he didn't search. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, which hast thou found of all thy household stuff, set it there before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both." So here it is, Jacob's laying it all out. All right, prove it. Prove what you've said. This is where a son-in-law gets all brave and mighty. Go ahead, prove it. Put it out right in front of me. And yet there was nothing that he had found. "As 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." So here he is. He's laying it out here. Even the losses Jacob took upon himself. He was a man of integrity in this sense. He's a man that went from deception to a man of integrity. He's starting to actually grow up. He's starting to actually mature. "Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and a frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac has been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight." He's recognizing that God's stepping in. "And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which they have borne?" He's playing all the nice guy. "Oh, they've all come from me. I can't do anything, right? Now, therefore, come thou. Let us make a covenant. I and thou, let it be for a witness between me and thee." And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, "Gather the stones." And they took stones and make it a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it, yep, that one. But Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between me and thee this day." Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, "The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee." And Laban said to Jacob, "Behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness and this pillar be witness that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor and the God of their father judge betwixt us." And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. And so all of that, you finally see them coming together. All of that turmoil, all of that family drama, all of that being thrown out there. And they finally come together and come and find an agreement. Now we can step back. And after all these verses that we've just read through and seen the story, this true story, we can step back and say, wow, how Jacob was a great strategist. He was a great farmer, and he did all these plans. And yet, yes, he went out there, and he had a plan, and he strategized with his wives, and they finally came in agreement together, the two daughters. And they said, well, what's good for us here? Let's go on and go to this land. Let's do what God wants, right? Let's just go on into this other land. And then they started running. They had this great plan to strategize to get out of there before Laban could catch them, but they didn't quite make it. And then as they were there, finally, they were able to work it out, and Rachel here in her scheme and her deception was able to protect her family from having to stay any longer. And then Jacob finally came together and they made reconciliation and they made this covenant together between Jacob and Laban. And everything's peachy and good. And if we go through all of that, we can totally miss the point. The point being God. It's not about Jacob. It's not about Laban. It's not about Rachel, Leah. It's not about their 12 sons or the 11 sons, soon to be 12. It's not about the schemes, the plans, the strategies. It's not about all that. When you look at what God is sharing with us here, you're seeing that God provides. In all of that blessing and all that hardship, God stepped in and provided for Jacob and his family. And he's the one that we should be looking to. And Jacob got that. He stepped in and he understood and he said, he presented it to his wives. He said, God has done all of this. Did you notice that Jacob didn't say anything about all the things that he did? He probably would have felt a little stupid putting all those sticks out there and saying, hey, wives, look at all these sticks that I threw out there. And then all of a sudden we had speckled and spotted goats. Like, oh, I think you've been out in the field too long. No, he turned around and he said, listen, God has provided all of what we have. But God also protects. Before Laban even got to Jacob, guess who stepped in? Don't say anything good or bad. And Laban respected that. Laban had that surface understanding of God could wipe him out, and so he better follow suit. And here it is that God is protecting Jacob and his family. But then God also progresses. In the sense that this whole entire plan, God had a plan to get Jacob and his family where they needed to go. And so in all of this, whose plan is it anyway? It's God's. We could sit here in Christianity and lift our fingers and hope that everything works out. Do we do that? No, because that doesn't make any practical sense. Do you know what does make practical sense? Is trusting in the God who provides, who protects, and moves his plan forward. How are you doing that? Where's your faith? Are you more like Rachel and Leah who says, well, nothing else to do, let's go to church today. Oh, Derby's over. let's go to church. Oh, nothing else to do. Let me read my Bible. I'm kind of bored. Let's go fellowship with other believers. I'll go make a disciple because, you know, I got nothing else to do. Or is it dropping everything, be willing to drop everything for the sake of what God has placed in front of us to follow after his plan? Where are we at? How are we responding? Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your truth. And yes, this was a decently long passage, and we moved quite quickly through all of this. But God, we see your plan. We see how you do provide, you do protect, you do progress us forward. And God, may we not take you lightly. May we not be the people that take you as a surface level understanding. We actually want to get deep and have a relationship with you, God. May we be willing to drop everything in order to do what you've called us to do. God, help us. Because you know. And in our selfishness, that are in our own pride, we can get caught up in ourselves. God help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave is going to play through.